All right. You've calculated your FAR. You've checked your setbacks. Your architect says there's room for that detached garage or ADU. But wait, have you checked your lot coverage? Here's what catches homeowners off guard. Even when the FAR, floor area ratio, says you have a square footage to spare, lot coverage restrictions can shut your project down before it even starts. And if you're planning a pool, a patio, or a driveway, there's another restriction waiting for you: impervious surface limits. I'm Bill Reed, and today we're tackling two design limitations that squeeze your property from angles you probably haven't considered. So let's dig in. Welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here, we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork, just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. Did you know that the concrete patios and that old shed in the backyard could limit the amount of square footage you could have in your new home or maybe even your expansion? Perhaps you're thinking about adding an accessory dwelling unit in the backyard while also remodeling or building a new home. All of these things are factored into what's called lot coverage and impervious surfaces. And these are more design restrictions that are lurking about that if you as a homeowner get to know these ahead of time, you can empower yourself to make prudent choices during the design process as opposed to way too late after you spend thousands of dollars. Let's dive into the studio and talk a little bit more detail about this in our Understanding Design Limitations and Restrictions series so that you as a homeowner are empowered. We'll see you there. All right, welcome back, everybody, to your home building coach. I'm Bill Reed, and we're continuing our Understanding Design Limitations series. And if you've been following along, we've already covered some heavy hitters: floor area ratio, setbacks, and easements in episode 35. Each one of these puts a squeeze on what you can do with your property. And today we're tackling two more restrictions that work together to limit your options: lot coverage and impervious coverage. And here's the thing. These can sneak up on you late in the design process when it's expensive to make changes. I've seen homeowners get all the way through design, excited about their new garage or ADU or outdoor living space, only to have the city come back and say, sorry, you've exceeded your lot coverage. That's a heartbreaking conversation to have after you've invested thousands and architectural plans. So let's make sure that doesn't happen to you. Let's break down exactly what these restrictions mean and how to navigate them. So let's start with lot coverage, because this is the one that catches most homeowners by surprise. Lot coverage is exactly what it sounds like. It's how much of your lot is covered by buildings. But here's where it gets tricky. The definition of buildings is broader than you might think. So the way I want you to be thinking about this is look at an aerial view of your lot and your buildings on top of it. And we're talking about the footprint of buildings. So not necessarily that you're building a 3,000 square foot two-story home, but you're building a building that is maybe 3,000 square feet with 1,000 square feet on the top and 2,000 square feet on the bottom. What really matters is you've got 2,000 square feet of footprint sitting on the land. So your primary residence is the big one that will always consume the amount of square footage. But let's back up for a minute and let's talk about what lot coverage really is. Lot coverage is a calculation based on the square footage of your lot relative to the square footage of the buildings on the property. So if you have a 10,000 square foot lot and you have 5,000 square feet of buildings on the property, and believe me, it's easier to get to that level than you think by the time you factor everything in. But in that case, you have 50% lot coverage of the buildings themselves. And each city and county and sometimes even homeowners associations have limits to the amount of lot you can cover with buildings. And we'll get into why those rules even exist. But let's go back to what really classifies that will be applied to your lot coverage. I just spoke about the primary residence, and that could be your main house footprint, like I mentioned earlier, of maybe 2,000 square feet. You also have to think about attached and detached garages. So you may think you have 2,000 square feet of living area on your first floor, but you really have more, a bigger footprint than that. And that could be your attached garage, or it could be a detached garage building footprint that's on the property as well. Accessory structures are something that you really have to pay attention to, because these are also calculated into lot coverage. So you could have a 2,000 square foot home, a 500 square foot attached garage, and then you could have another shop in the back that's another 1,000 square feet. Or perhaps you want to have an accessory dwelling unit in the back of the property. That counts towards lot coverage. Another thing that counts towards lot coverage are covered patios, porches, and pergolas, anything with a solid roof. Think about the things where if it rains and that rainwater cannot enter into the earth because there's a roof structure over it, and that is preventing water to return, precipitation to return back to the earth to recharge the groundwater system. And this is one of the reasons the cities and counties and HOAs have these rules, is because they want to be able to capture as much precipitation back into the property and not having it run off into a storm sewer system. And also keep in mind that when an architect calculates lot coverage, they're not just considering the boundaries or the limitations of the outside walls of these structures. Many jurisdictions have you include the overhangs or the eaves around the structure. So you could have a 2,000 square foot footprint, but it might end up being 2,200 or 2,500 square feet when it comes to calculating lot coverage, and that is because of the overhangs on the buildings. So you can see where I'm going here, that by the time you factor in your primary residence, your garage structures, your porches, your pergolas, sheds in the back, maybe you want to have an apartment building or accessory dwelling unit out on the back of the property, all of these things factor into what is called lot coverage. And the cities will only require or allow maybe upwards of 30 to 60% of your lot to be covered with buildings. So this is a really important thing. So I had a client who wanted to add a detached workshop. The house was, 2,200 square feet on a 6,000 square foot lot. The lot coverage limit was 50%. So that's 3,000 square feet that any building can be on the property, any footprint of a building can be on the property. So the existing garage was 400 square feet, a covered patio was 200 square feet, and then there was an old shed nobody thought about was another 100 square feet. So that's already 2,900 square feet. So the workshop they wanted was 500 square feet. So you can see where this is going. They were already at the limit before they even started. So let's go through the calculation method one more time. The lot coverage calculation works just like the floor area ratio calculations that we did back in episode 33. And remember, these are really directly related to each other. Both of these are limiting the size of home that you can put on the property. So it's a percentage of your lot size. So your total covered area divided by the lot size equals your lot coverage percentage. Typical limits in many cities and counties is anywhere from 30 to 60%, depending on the zone and the lot size. So urban lots usually have around a 50 to 60% lot coverage allowance. And the further outlying properties you go into, some suburban and some rural properties are usually in that 30% to 50% range. So unlike FAR, lot coverage doesn't care about how many floors you have on the property. It's just the footprint. So you could have, like I mentioned earlier, you could have a 3,000 square foot home, but only two-story home, and only 2,000 of it's really sitting on the land. That's what you use for the calculations. So let's say you have a 1,000 square foot lot with 50% lot coverage. You know, that's 3,000 square feet of structures that you're going to be allowed to have on the footprint of the property. So your two-story house might have 2,500 square feet, let's use that example, of living space. But if the footprint is only 1,400 square feet, that's what counts for lot coverage. Just want to drive that point home because some people have made that mistake. The second floor sits on top of the first. It doesn't add to the coverage. This is different from FAR, where both floors are counted. So they kind of have you coming and going, right? They have a floor area ratio they want you to use. On top of that, they have the lot area restrictions that you have to calculate. So here's where lot coverage interacts with your FAR. You might have FAR room for more square footage, but the lot coverage might prevent you from building it. This is why I say these restrictions kind of compound on each other. And then let me share why this particular restriction can sneak up on you and sometimes on your design team. So in my experience, lot coverage is what I call a late discovery restriction. And here's why. Designers tend to focus on the floor area ratio, the setbacks first, and sometimes they forget about existing outbuildings that get forgotten in the calculations. Sometimes they miss the easements that are going right through your property that I spoke about in the previous episodes. Sometimes things get forgotten, like future plans that you may have with your property, such as a future accessory dwelling unit, or maybe you want to put in a large pool and patio area that you're maybe phasing that out to the next phase of the project. But if that isn't factored into a master plan of the project, you might be burning yourself a little bit there, because when you go to put in the pool and landscaping and hardscaping for the property, the city or the county is going to ask you for a lot coverage calculation. And because you built your home to the maximum floor area ratio, not factoring in the lot coverage, this is where you can really get into trouble. Also, people tend to forget covered outdoor spaces that can add up faster than expected. So you may have a nice large outdoor kitchen area that has a big covered roof on it, or a pool house, or a pool cabana that has a roof over it. Sometimes you have an extended deep front porch, those big, beautiful wraparound covered porches. Even though that's not factored into your square footage of your home, that's factored into the footprint of the building, which can significantly impact your calculations. So that's lot coverage, the restrictions on buildings and covered structures. But there's another restriction that goes even further, and it's becoming increasingly important. It's called impervious coverage. And this is almost just like lot coverage. In fact, it does affect the lot coverage calculation. But there's going to be two different rules here. Your cities are going to tell you what your lot coverage is. They're going to tell you what your impervious coverage maximum is. And you have to factor those two into your calculations when you're designing your home, the actual home itself. So let's move into that segment and talk about impervious coverage. All right, so let's talk about impervious coverage. And I want to start with why this even exists, because understanding the why helps you work with these restrictions instead of fighting against them. Impervious means water can't pass through the material. So impervious coverage is any surface that prevents rainwater from soaking into the ground. Obviously, things like buildings and roofs that direct water away from the buildings would count in the overall calculation. Concrete and asphalt, driveways, patios, walkways, hardscape, pool decks, all the decking around the pool, and even some compacted gravel surfaces. So think about it this way. Every square foot of concrete is a square foot that says no to rainwater. This water has to go somewhere. And historically, that means into storm drains and eventually into streams, rivers, and lakes. Cities are now saying, we need some of that water to stay on your property and soak into the ground. So impervious coverage goes beyond just buildings. It includes all that hardscape we take for granted. And there's a good reason cities are getting stricter about this. So here's the environmental reality driving these regulations. And understanding this will help you see why these rules are getting stricter and really not looser. Stormwater runoff increases the flooding risk of communities. The municipal storm drain systems become overwhelmed, and groundwater aquifers need recharging. Runoff also carries pollutants like oils and chemicals to waterways. And then climate change equals more intense rain events and even a bigger problem. So I've seen some jurisdictions go from having no impervious limits to requiring as little as 15 to 30% maximum impervious coverage. So that's in addition to the lot coverage calculation. So I did a little bit of research because I wanted to look at other communities that I'm not familiar with, and like Wake County, North Carolina, wherever that is, residential lots are limited to 30% of impervious coverage. Some Massachusetts towns cap it at 15%. Plus 2,500 square feet. And this just isn't going away. And if anything, expect these limits to tighten up. So the environmental rationale is solid. The question becomes, how does this affect your project? All right, quick reminder, everybody. Everything we're talking about today and so much more is in the Awaken Homeowner book. At less than 0.1% of your project cost, it's the best investment you'll make. Grab your copy on Amazon and keep it by your side throughout your entire project. Trust me, you'll refer to it again and again. So here's the squeeze that catches homeowners. Impervious coverage is almost always more restrictive than lot coverage. And here's why. Lot coverage only counts the buildings. Impervious includes the buildings plus all the hardscape. So you have to factor those together. And you could be under lot coverage, but over on impervious coverage. So that driveway, walkways, and patio all count. So let's go back to that 6,000 square foot lot. Say the lot coverage is 50% that you're allowed, which would be the 3,000 square feet of the buildings. But impervious might be 40%. Only 2,400 square feet total. So your 1,400 square foot house footprint of the building, the 400 square foot garage, that's 1,800 square feet, add a 400 square foot driveway, 200 square feet of walkways, 300 square feet of patio. Now you're at 2,700 square feet, already over the impervious limit, even though you're under the lot coverage. So you need to track both numbers. The good news is there are solutions. There's ways to get, the outdoor living space you want while staying within impervious limits. So you need to track both these numbers simultaneously, along with all the other ones I've talked about in previous episodes that are putting the squeeze on your lot. But the good news is there are solutions, ways to get outdoor living space you want while staying within the impervious limits. So in summary of this segment, impervious coverage includes everything that prevents water absorption. Your buildings, plus all the concrete, the asphalt, and the hardscape. Cities are tightening rules because of stormwater management and groundwater recharge. This restriction compounds with lot coverage because it counts more surfaces, which is why you might be under lot coverage but over the impervious limits. All right, let's stop bitching and moaning about the problem and see if we can come up with some solutions. So here's where I want to try to give you some hope, because there are solutions. You don't have to give up that patio or make your driveway smaller or even make your house smaller just so you can have a bigger patio. There are materials and design approaches that can help you stay within the limits while still getting that outdoor living space you want. The construction industry has developed materials specifically designed to let water through. And these are called pervious or permeable surfaces, and they can really be game changers. There are products that are pervious concrete and asphalt that has tiny voids that let water pass through. So if push comes to shove, you can actually have your civil engineer or your architect or your landscape contractor research that with you and propose some different concrete and asphalt products for your upcoming project. Another one is interlocking pavers with gaps for drainage is one idea. There's also interlocking pavers that are designed to be permeable. Now, you'll have to look closely at those because I don't know if they're as attractive as regular interlocking pavers. There's also some that are really interesting that are interlocking pavers, but they have large voids in the middle of them. They come in different styles and designs where you can plant grass in between each of the pavers, but you can still drive on them or walk on them as if it was a concrete walkway, and this is letting moisture permeate through. And you can also use natural stone for your gravel beds, for your walkways. You can use some compacted stone products for a lot of landscaping that doesn't count towards impervious surfaces. And then, of course, wood decking often allows water to permeate through the gaps in between the deck boards. Some municipalities give partial credit for permeable pavers. So that 400 square foot driveway might only count as 200 square feet towards your impervious limit if you use that pervious material. So be careful. You don't get full credit just because you're using an impervious material. You have to check with your county or your city and make sure that that is in fact the case. But there's a downside, and that is some of the cost considerations to these elements and these ideas to reduce the impervious coverage. The permeable pavers can definitely be more than regular pavers, sometimes up to 50% more for the materials. Now, the labor isn't really going to be much different, but I would have to say that if you're designing a permeable paver driveway, let's say, for example, the substrate that does go below that is different than if you were just putting in a conventional paver system for a driveway. So if you're interested, you can look up permeable paver driveways details, search for that, and you will find that there's a lot more work below the surface that your landscape or your excavation contractor has to do to achieve that permeability through the stone, but also into the ground. Otherwise, you're just putting a compacted level of base rock and sand, and I don't believe that allows as much permeation, if that's a word, through the system. But you also can check while you're doing your research that some cities offer a rebate. So if you do use a permeable surface for your patios, the increased material costs might be offset by some rebates. So you'll have to kind of factor all that in too. And beyond the materials, there are design strategies that can help maximize your property within these limits. So let's talk about the actual design of your projects that could be factored in. And of course, the point here is you understanding this ahead of time could directly influence the size and shape and locations of buildings on your property. So here's one: build up instead of out. So remember, the second story on a two-story home do not count for impervious or lot coverage, frankly. Combine your functions, attach your garages into your structure. So if you have a two-story home and you have the garage attached to the main floor and then the second story above it, you can see that you're maximizing the efficiency of how much your buildings are going to impact, the footprint of your buildings are going to impact the property. Strategic removal of existing impervious buildings or walkways or landscape elements. So when you're factoring that in, you may want to seriously consider removing that big patio so that you can help with your calculations on your overall project. Rain gardens and bioswales as landscape features help with your drainage. And underground stormwater detention. Now, one thing I did not mention is this underground stormwater detention. There are many cities where you have a requirement to put in underground stormwater detention. And what that means is putting in what's called a dissipation pit in the location of your property where all of the roof drainage, the downspouts, and other drainage off of hard surfaces are collected into a large pit. Sometimes they're 4 feet by 4 feet by 6 to 8 feet deep in the ground, filled with gravel and filter fabric and so on. And all of the drainage comes into that location, goes into that dissipation pit, and eventually works its way back into the groundwater system. Now, you're also going to find that some cities will allow you to increase your impervious coverage if you, in fact, commit to putting in a dissipation pit, because you're still collecting all of the water into a drainage system, pipes, basically, that tie into this dissipation pit. So be careful, ask that question, because that might be a way to get around the general standard impervious coverage calculations. So just remember, pervious materials like permeable pavers can reduce or eliminate impervious area calculations. They cost more, typically 30 to 50%. But some cities offer rebates to offset those costs. Design strategies like building up instead of out and removing existing impervious surfaces, and also thinking about a dissipation pit, a management system to ask the city if you can increase your pervious coverage if you put that in, or there might be a policy in place. So that is some key elements that we've talked about so far. We've talked about lot coverage. We've talked about impervious coverage. We've talked about a little bit about design solutions that you being aware of in the beginning of your design process can help you design as prudent as possible. So here's your action plan that we try to do at the end of every episode. And this is kind of like your homework. If you're thinking about doing a project, if you're thinking about doing a large landscaping project, but someday add on to your home, be thinking about your lot coverage calculations so you don't, you know, back yourself into a corner, and then 2 years from now, when you want to expand your home, you can't do that. Or it's the flip side of that. You're planning to expand your home. You're going to maximize your floor area ratio. You're going to maximize your impervious coverage and your lot coverage, but you plan to put in a pool later, or large landscaping patios and outdoor kitchens and covered roofs outside. You might be in trouble there if you didn't consider that as a master plan. So let's first do this. Let's contact your planning department. Let's ask specifically about lot coverage and impervious coverage limits for your zoning district. I went online to a random city. I went into the municipal code. And if you remember some of my previous episodes, I talked specifically about municipal codes, and I searched lot coverage. I also searched site coverage. I searched impervious coverage, and up came the policies within the city's municipal code, and you can start to read through that. But contact your planning department, whether it's directly, face-to-face, or begin on the website to learn about some of these really restrictive elements. If you do go visit the county or the city, get it in writing, or at least have them show you in writing where it is, because verbal answers are just not reliable when you're dealing with a planner across the counter. And ask what counts towards your impervious coverage, towards your building coverage. Get clarity on things like, are extended eaves covered? Are covered patios included? Decks, and how pervious materials are credited. Take an inventory of what you have on your property now. List every structure and hardscape on your property with the square footage, and then calculate your current numbers. Know where you stand before designing anything new. Now, I want to mention one more thing here, and I've mentioned it many times in previous episodes. A land surveyor, if you hire a land surveyor to survey your property, both from the boundaries, the setbacks, the easements, the topographic map, surveyors will show the building footprint. They will show all the hardscape that's existing on the property, and they can even give you the calculations right off of their data on their survey drawing to tell you how much square footage your building footprint is, how much square footage your impervious coverage elements are right there in that drawing, and it's done for you. So, and this is something that you're going to want to seriously consider when you begin designing a project, is having a survey with a topographic map done if you're on a hillside property, because this is a very good foundational aspect of good design. So in summary, contact your planning department, get coverage limits in writing, or have them show you where it is specifically in the municipal code. Understand what counts towards each of these limits, and inventory your existing coverage and calculate your current numbers. And if you really want to get down nitty gritty, have a surveyor do all that for you. Pay the $2,000 or $4,000 or $5,000, $6,000, whatever it is, minuscule investment to what your project will ultimately cost. So here's what we've covered today. Lot coverage limits how much of your lot can be covered by buildings. Everything with a roof counts. Just think about it that way. Impervious coverage goes further, including all your hardscape, driveways, patios, and walkways. These restrictions compound on each other and sneak up late in the design often. But pervious materials and smart design strategies can help you maximize your property within these limits. So if you want to dive deeper into lot coverage and impervious coverage, you can also grab a copy of the book, The Awakened Homeowner, on Amazon, and of course, amongst all the other aspects of planning a project, you can start digging into that and start building up your knowledge that way if you're getting tired of listening to my voice. And if this episode helped you understand coverage restrictions better, share it with someone planning a project, please. Send it to your friends who's looking at adding an ADU in the backyard, or that neighbor dreaming about a pool. This information could save them from expensive surprises. And I'd love to hear from you too. Have you run into coverage issues on your project? Drop me a DM on Instagram or leave a comment on YouTube. All right, everyone, that's what I had for you today. Lot coverage and impervious restrictions compounding with all of the other ones I've done in the previous episode, such as the floor area ratio, the easements, and the setbacks. I'm Bill Reed, your home building coach. Remember, enlighten, empower, and protect. That's what we do here. Thanks for listening. And now let's really go make it happen. Thanks for tuning into The Awakened Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab The Awakened Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenedhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.